Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's broadcast, The Power of Your Demeanor. This is a topic that I think is so important. In fact, in my first book, which was about job search, I dedicated the entire first chapter to it. And then I gave it some additional space at the end of the final, in the final chapter as well. So really important to me for a long time. And I also created my first blog site. So going back to 2006, I had the whole focus was on attitude and demeanor. And I called that blog Attitude and Longitude. Now all of my writings, the old and the new, are at beradiantsquared.com. And things are broader in nature, but attitude and the power of personal demeanor, it's still at the core of what I usually write about. So anyway, today I want to specifically talk about how your attitude shapes your external landscape and how you can raise your awareness about your demeanor to the level that where you are actually taking control of your own experiences of life's ups and downs. Now, when my daughter was 8 years old, she had the typical issues that many kids have regarding taking responsibility for her attitude. So the thing about kids today, though, is that they really don't have any power. I mean, adults tell them what to do, how to act, et cetera. And when they need boundaries, you know, to feel secure, they test the limits. I mean, they still want that sense of, you know, how far can I go? How much can I do? How can I feel still feel safe? They're like little baby birds taking a step out of the nest, but they don't want to go too far away. They think they want to fly off, but they're not really ready yet. So they really don't have that power, but it's that, you know, straddling that line between taking responsibility and not really wanting it yet or not knowing how to handle it yet. And so, of course, childhood. Great place to experiment, right? I think the trick is to find the right balance between letting your baby birds fly while keeping them inside the perimeter so they feel empowered and protected at the same time. And that's why I figured that empowering my daughter when she was about 8 years old was the ticket to getting her into this more positive mode and teaching her responsibility. So I made a sign on poster paper with fancy lettering, and the sign said, "You are in charge of your attitude." With her help and her consent, she helped me hang it up on her bedroom wall. And whenever she got into this negative mode or was in complaining mode or, just fighting with me or whatever, and she wanted to blame everyone else but herself, I would remind her about the sign. And sometimes I even pointed to it, and I said, "Okay, what does that say?" And she would read it out loud. And, you know, what else could she do? It was classic parental entrapment, right? It worked. I mean, there it was on the wall, right? So she couldn't get out of it. But it worked because since she agreed to hanging the poster, she had pretty much made a contract with me about choosing her attitude. So she was kind of, "All right, Mom, you're right. I agreed to this, so I get to choose my attitude." And it worked. And not only did it teach her something, it taught me something, too. It taught me how we can make conscious choices. So, you know, I had been practicing this myself, but is it an anomaly that I could do it myself? Well, my 8-year-old could, so maybe there was something to it. The truth is that we may not always be able to control the circumstances that occur in our life, but we can definitely control our response to them and our attitude about them. It works for children, and it works for grown-ups too. Some time ago, I developed a leadership course for the University of Texas, and it's part of their professional leadership certification program. Every time I've taught it, I've kicked off the program with a section in the beginning about the power of demeanor, which contains several exercises about attitude. Students always agree that they can't be inspiring to others. They can't inspire others to lead or to follow them and them to be leaders unless they themselves are feeling inspired too. So as leaders and aspiring leaders, they're very influential, and we start to realize that through these exercises. So people notice the leader. They emulate their examples, whether it's good bad or if the leader is indifferent and, you know, apathetic, they'll emulate that too. But you don't have to hold an official title of a leader to be influential to others in your life. You're constantly influencing others, whether you mean to or not. And that's just your attitude showing through, and it's constantly influencing other people. You are important. You cause ripples in the energetic world around you. Have you ever walked into a room where people are laughing and then you notice yourself starting to smile? Or you're walking on the hall and you hear people laughing in another room and you can't help it, you're starting to smile. You didn't know what they were laughing about, but suddenly you started kind of feeling lifted up too. Or maybe you've walked into a room and people are sitting around quietly or they're talking in hushed tones and the thought crosses your mind. What happened? Did someone die? I mean, this is what happens, right? We are engaged by how other people are acting around us. So your attitude can even be contagious to you. If you've ever made the conscious decision to choose your attitude, you know what I mean. So you can be like your own attitude can be reflect. You can change that. So there's an old Japanese folktale. So I want to tell you this folktale. It's called the House of 1,000 Mirrors. And it teaches us about how our own attitudes can be contagious and that our own attitude is reflected back at us. So the House of 1,000 Mirrors, a Japanese folktale. Long ago, in a small, faraway village, there was a place known as the House of 1,000 Mirrors. A small, happy little dog learned of this place and decided to visit. When he arrived, he bounced happily up the stairs to the doorway of the house. He looked through the doorway with his ears lifted high and his tail wagging as fast as he could. To his great surprise, he found himself staring at 1,000 other happy little dogs with their tails wagging just as fast as his. He smiled a great big smile. You know, imagine dogs can smile, right? He smiled a great smile and was answered with 1,000 great smiles just as warm and friendly. As he left the house, he thought to himself, "This is a wonderful place. I will come back and visit it often." In the same village, another little dog, who was not quite as happy as the first one, decided to visit the house. He slowly climbed up the stairs and hung his head low as he looked into the door. When he saw the 1,000 unfriendly-looking dogs staring back at him, he growled at them and was horrified to see 1,000 little dogs growling back at him. As he left, he thought to himself, "That is a horrible place, and I will never go back there again." Okay, so if you can imagine dogs having thoughts like this and smiles and frowns and so forth, you get the point, right? It is a folktale after all. Now, whatever attitude you have affects who you attract into your life, that attraction or repelling, right? If you surround yourself with negative people, complainers who never have a good day, then you may very well find yourself joining in the negativity. If you surround yourself with positive people, you'll attract positive experiences. And in this Japanese folktale, whatever your attitude that you choose to show to the world, it'll be reflected back to you. And that's because attitude is contagious. Now, I have an easy two-part exercise that I give to the students in my class whenever we're discussing this topic, the power of demeanor. So if you want to grab a piece of paper and you want to jot these questions down, they're very simple, and you want to reflect on the answers in writing, you can do that, or you can just simply think of something without writing it down. I mean, either way is fine. The point of the exercise is to help you realize just how contagious positive and negative attitudes can be. So this is about you pulling something out of your own experiences. So describe a time when yours or someone else's, a lot of times people in the class don't have any problem figuring out someone else's, negative attitude. So describe a time when yours or someone else's negative attitude negatively influenced or affected the mood of another person, of you, the entire group, whatever. So what was the mood or the attitude, this negative attitude that was happening, and what happened and what was the result? So just reflect on this time that you noticed this, that this was an experience you had. And then conversely, describe a time when you or someone else's, yours or someone else's positive attitude positively influenced the mood of another person, yourself, or you know, the whole group. So what was that mood, that positive mood or attitude? And what happened? as a result of that? What was the story behind that? So that's all it is. It's just a notice it, pay attention to it. It's happened to you. Undoubtedly, if you lived any time at all on this planet, you will have experienced the negative and positive contagions of attitude. Okay, next I want to give you another easy exercise to do. This one is meant to help you come up with ways that you can use to take care of your internal landscape. So you can take care of your internal landscape before it escapes and it shapes your external landscape, you know, that rippling effect. Okay, so this is it. It's very simple. List three ways that you are regularly inspired, or that, you know, something you could do to become more inspired personally. So what could you do to shift your attitude? You're maybe feeling grumpy and you can turn it around. So what would that be? What three things could you come up with? Now, for me, they're pretty easy. I have a top three I can go to right away. I can tell you, I've jotted them down here for you. The first one is listening to music. And that's an instant mood changer for me. I can put on something peppy and up-tempo, and my mood is all of a sudden up-tempo too. On the other hand, if I'm feeling grumpy or stressed out, putting on something with a repetitive beat that gets annoying, or if it has a driving hard edge to it that doesn't uplift me, that might get me even more stressed. All right, the second one for me is spending a few minutes with my dog. He's so goofy, and he makes me smile. Sometimes he makes me laugh out loud. And check this out. I read this on health.com. A University of Missouri Columbia study found that petting a dog for just 15 minutes releases the feel-good hormones, serotonin, prolactin, and oxytocin. And Oxytocin is the natural hormone. Anyway, it lowers the stress hormone cortisol. So just petting your dog can release naturally good feeling hormones. Awesome. Oh, and by the way, I also read someplace else once that this releases this in the dog too. So you make your dog feel good. All right. Third one for me is taking a brisk walk outside, especially a nature walk. So seeing trees, natural scenes, that really helps to shift my mental state. And walking helps me to think. If I'm stressed out, I'm upset, the energy that leaves my body, just kind of, I shed it, you know, after I go a block or two. Whew, and it's especially good if I take my dog out for a walk too. So anyway, I have a few other things I like to do. Like, I like reading and watching inspiring stories. I like journaling, which is, and through journaling, a lot of times I'm giving myself a pep talk, pondering wise quotes, great poems, talking to my sister. Now, not only is it cool to talk to a sister who cares about you a lot, but she also has serious health issues and has been dealing with serious issues for years. And if I know that if she can persevere, I can too. So it always lifts me up to know that, you know, she's doing it and I know I can. And you have to understand, my sister, I mean, much to her doctor's surprise, she's still with us. She has come close to death on several occasions. So, okay, so I mean, I ask you now, what are your top three? Why don't you take a moment and, you know, do this today. Make a quick list of your top three and put it somewhere you can find it, in your phone, next to your computer, somewhere where you can refer to it. I feel bad, so let me go back to my list. And you can think of those things when your demeanor is going south. And if you need some help thinking of some other things, check out that article on health.com. I'm going to give you the resource in the resource section. I'm going to give you the link. They have a lot of other things in there that may be really useful. I think there's six things on their list, including eating certain foods that can make you change your mood. I thought that was interesting. So there you go. Now, what will you choose, your choice, in changing your attitude? The power of your demeanor, it's in your hands. So choose wisely. Okay, that takes us to the end today. I hope you're listening to this and feeling better, feeling good. If not, and maybe you've gotten some reminders of how you can lift up your own attitude. So go ahead, be deliberate, spread it around, put out some ripples of some good joy. All right, before I go, let me tell you, next time is November 15. I have another 15-minute short inspirational broadcast set. It's going to be called Keep Calm and Carry On, about crisis and dealing with crisis. And if you're interested in my books, courses, other programs, you want to connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, you can find all that at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. feel free to reach out, and I'd love to connect with you. And now it's time to sign off. So be well and shine on.